Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. It's Trina Murray here, and as always, always delighted to see Paul Harrington. Hiya, Paul.
Hiya, Trina. Lovely to see you this morning, bright and bushy-tailed and all that jazz.
Do you know what? I almost was in shock when I realised that this is the year. It's the 30 years.
You were in shock.
Since Rock and Roll Kids. What?
Oh, I know. I mean, look, it's amazing. I've been looking at so much stuff online, on the social media and stuff like that. And the general reaction is, it can't be.
Not 30 years.
I know.
There's been 10 years it's been lost there.
Well, I suppose COVID sucked a bit of life out of us all, but chronologically, it is 30 years, I'm afraid. No getting away from it. 30th of April, 1994. There you go.
Oh, my good God. When Paul and Charlie just ran away with the Eurovision, literally.
We did.
I mean, you had the audience in the palm of your hands, didn't you?
Well, I mean, it was a home crowd, so we were steeped, you know. And it's funny, I've been always this time of year, I have to kind of rack my brains trying to think back, you know. And myself and Charlie, at this point, have two very different memories of events, you know, which is strange. If he was sitting here now, you could ask him, think along the lines of, you know, Mr. and Mrs., right? We wouldn't win.
You've got the pink paddle and he's got the blue one.
That's it. Yeah. And we just wouldn't win. We wouldn't win anything between us. But anyway, that said, you were talking about having them in the palm of our hands. I mean, with the home crowd, which was amazing. I mean, I'll never forget the roar when you know, we went out on stage, sitting at the piano. And there's a split second there where they die down and you have to play. Now, that moment, you can almost freeze and just kind of go, I can't do it.
You're going to get sick.
And then you just push through because you have to, you really have to fight the nerves. And it is nerve-wracking because it's, you know, back then you're aware that there's a televisual audience of somewhere near 400 million. I think it's about half that now, which is still a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then you've got maybe three odd thousand people in the auditorium. So that, even the people in the auditorium, that was the biggest crowd I've ever played to ever in my life, you know? I mean,
but everybody, I think, remembers where they were mm-hmm. during that moment.
As do I.
Yeah. But like Paul and his long, flowing locks, it looked like you had your hair blow dried earlier on that day. Did you in the hairdressers?
I was in and out of a place in Drumcondra. It was with.
Not Hessians, was it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they, because I refused to cut my hair, I said, no, I said, it's taken me years to grow that all one length. I'm not cutting it. And they said, okay, we're going to have to put treatments in.
The shine of something else. You could have got a pound 10 campaign, Paul.
I mean, you could almost see yourself in the reflection. I know. But anyway, the long flowing locks are long, long gone. But anyway,
come here. Was that the Point Depot?
Yep.
Yeah,
it was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was amazing.
So we had won the year before with Niamh Kavanagh in Mill Street, which is why we were hosting it. Jerry Ryan. Was the host,
our host, him and Cynthia Nivoruku.
Yeah, yeah.
Sadly,
he wore a yellow jacket. I just remember everything like this night. I don't know how. It's just in there.
Or it could be YouTube. No, it's funny because I don't look back at that. My son recently told me that he said he's a gas man, Daniel. He lives in London. He had a bit of a party and they watched the whole thing, you know. Of course, I turned it to my mother then. I said, did I win again? But yeah, Jerry, and just to remember Jerry, God rest him, I mean, his anniversary occurs on the 30th of April as well. He's 14 years gone, but which is shocking to think he's so long gone. But I always remember him saying to me, he used to always call me Harrow, you know, and on the Friday night where they film the whole thing, the dress rehearsal, as an emergency broadcast, he said to me, he said, Harrow, give it everything on the Friday night. He said, that's when the votes are cast.
Yeah.
So I said, great. That was great advice. So, you know, I gave him my all.
Don't pretend it's the rehearsal.
No, exactly.
Just go for it.
Exactly. Yeah. He said, don't hold anything back, you know, which was great advice, you know. And of course, yeah. So we were the three in a row, Niamh before us and then Linda before that in Malmo, which is where everything's happening tonight. And I'll be speaking into them, talking
so
to them.
So you're going to be the one that they go to when they go Irlanda?
Yep. That'll be me. Yes. It'll be. I'll be saying Dublin calling.
Yeah, that's the thing. The connection worked. There's always blooming issues with the connection. Are your nerves gone about the connection?
Well, I'm hoping there's enough technical people there because they said it's a satellite link. So they just said, don't be, you know, say your few bits and then let plenty of space for the hosts to come back to you. They said, don't be tempted to say things like, are you getting me? Are you hearing me? Because you'll start cross-talking. Anyway, listen, it's very brief, but I've been assured by Anders from Sweden. He said that this is the biggest audience is where the votes are being cast as well. That's where everyone's amazing. Sitting down watching. So, look,
it's amazing. It's,
but it's a great honour and it's a bit of fun. And it's look, the whole thing, going back, even looking, reflecting back over the week of Eurovision or all the things that followed or even the things that led up to it. I mean, it's like any movie buff who would know The Wizard of Oz and that lovely scene where it goes from black and white into colour. That's kind of what living that was like, you know? Just your whole world went into colour for a time.
And even say, Charlie had a different memory of everything well, to you. No, in what way?
Like? Well, when I say that, no, he remembers all the various specific
stuff. Is Charlie much shyer than you now?
Is he much what?
Shyer.
Shyer.
Do you know you're so shy and reserved, Paul? What,
no,
do you know what I mean?
No, he's really out there. I would be the shy one out of the two of us. But
stop it, are you serious?
Absolutely, yeah. But Charlie did a book recently as well, and now about his life, but there was a chapter or two about the whole Eurovision thing. But and I remember doing the launch for him, doing the speech and the chat, and I assured everyone in the audience or all of his guests that the whole thing was a great work of fiction, you know. But that don't worry if they were mentioned in it or anything. And we and Charlie have this joke because almost all our lives when we would talk to you know about anything, he'd say something and I'd say that was in Liverpool. And I'd say, no, that was Malta. You know, and that far apart, you know. So there was that sort of stuff going on. And again, I've reached the point where I start to doubt myself. And I've no doubt because now the thing is, Charlie did keep a diary, which is something I didn't do because he wrote certain things down. So which he obviously had the long-term plan to write the book. But, you know, I mean, I suppose it's like everything else. I mean, I wouldn't trust myself now as a witness or on a jury or anything like that. You know what I mean? Anyway, but
the
there
song
it is.
Rock and Roll Kids, Paul, there's just something so magical about a song that tells a story. That song really told a story, didn't it?
It does. I mean, I suppose, and it's always looking back. It's that kind of retrospective melancholy, you know, and we were all looking back. And I suppose where the song came from was Brendan Graham at a Fats Domino concert in The Point again. And he was looking at all these guys in suits, probably coming from work and, you know, all walks of life, accountants, lawyers, whatever, you know, painting and decorators, whatever it might be. But they're all kind of older. And it struck him. He looked at them all and he said, God, these are all rock and roll kids, you know. And he said he wrote it down on the stub of his ticket and then went on to write the song. Apparently he wrote 7 verses, went through the whole history of music, but thankfully decided to just cut it down to the 2 verses. But it has that nostalgic feel from the get-go, and it has that feel like you've kind of heard it before. It's the, I suppose, travelling through life. You know, now Johnny's in love with the girl next door, Mary's down at the record store. They don't want to be around us no more. Things changing and people, you know.
Friendship's moving on.
Exactly, yeah. Golden oldies, but we hardly speak. You know, I mean, I'm living that to a degree with friends I've had, you know, from years ago. I'm kind of thinking, God, this stage of my life, I should be meeting them for a couple of beers or meeting up once a month or something like that.
It's making the effort,
Well, it's making the effort. But then what happens is just life gets in the way. And, you know, so I think it captures that beautifully. And I think it can apply to any time, you know, and anyone's life, no matter what age group.
I was saying there when I knew you were coming in, I was going, God, I hope I can find the cassette that I had of this to get Paul to sign it. And I couldn't find it last night.
I will look another time.
I'm going to get it to you. Yeah.
Do.
We often see each other around. You're not too far, living too far from where I am. We see each other around the place.
Yeah.
But the song, I imagine when you're playing music, you can't go anywhere without playing that song, can you?
No, pretty much not. No, I mean, it's funny. I started doing live shows called The Lyrics, The Thing. And I've been doing it for a long time. And it's kind of a performance of a song and the story behind the song, but I initially didn't include it in the show because I kind of wanted to separate it from this, and in ways people didn't miss it, but I started introducing it as an encore, and hey presto, I mean, talk about how to get your second standing ovation, you know.
I
mean, it's great.
Yeah.
It's so powerful, you know. So I keep it in now all the time, you know. But it's a great, like it's like a merit badge. It's like this great kind of gold card I have, like that for 30 years, and it's great.
You're such a beautiful piano player as well, and you told me before, Paul, how you didn't even learn to play using music. Like, you were doing it all by ear.
Yeah, still do.
I couldn't
hack it. I tried to do music. I had a piano teacher for a time. She used to come to the house. She left almost in an Adams Family type way, which I won't go into now, but the point is that it was difficult because I was playing at a kind of a way higher standard than she was teaching me. She was trying to teach me the rudiments, which is the right thing to do, but I didn't have the patience to practice that. So I would just go back playing away. It's how I operate today. It has served me well. That's all I would say. Sometimes I work with Graham Murphy, you know, and he plays piano on a lot of the songs that we do in the live show. But sometimes when we're recording, some days, like, he'll play piano and then I'll do something and I'll lash it down just in one take, and he kind of scratches his head and says, I don't know how you do that. Or how do you? And I said, I don't know either. Yeah. I don't know how to do it. But I can't, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I can't do, a lot of complex stuff I can't, really can't do. And that's why, you know, he covers a lot of the more jazzy things that I would do in the live show. And he's a great friend and a great asset as well. Plays guitar. But again, he's a meticulous guy, which is nice. When we're working together and we record in my house, he always kind of looks at me in fascination saying, I don't know how you do that, you know?
Yeah.
At the risk of repeating myself, I don't know either.
It's really just the love of your life, isn't it? Music.
It has been my salvation in many ways, you know, and it's always been, you know, I remember many years ago when I was working too much. I was playing all the time, doing parties and corporate gigs and working, doing things that I really didn't like. Having to, you know, it was all a bit like you take the gig and it's a bit like, oh, well, you have to kind of have them on the floor and it's all rock and roll and speed it up and all that sort of thing. And I was really going against my instinct, although I needed to do the work. And then I stopped playing piano altogether because it was just became, I didn't even want to look at a piano. And I knew there was something fundamentally wrong there, because I thought when I was growing up, even in my teenage years and going through my 20s and stuff like that, I would almost, like, as a sixth sense, if I was in a building, I would know there was a piano there and I'd find it and I'd play it. And that's the way I was. And I had become this person that didn't want to ever see a piano and didn't want to look at it. And I thought, this, I don't know, something went terribly wrong there. So I completely rethought how I go about playing music. Now, I do it on my own terms now, live work. I do it when I want. Anything I don't want to do, I won't do. And I really, really enjoy it now. I don't make any apologies. I explain to people, no, you won't be dancing on the ceiling with any of this, but, you know, you'll sit back, relax, you'll be entertained. I'll tell you a little bit of something about a song that you won't have heard before, and I'll give you a version that you probably won't have heard before as well. So that's the way I work now, and I absolutely love the piano. Don't play it every day, but, you know, I play it really probably a couple of times a week, and my little girl Molly comes in, and now she's kind of starting to get a bit of an interest. If she takes it up, she takes it up. That's great. If she doesn't, she doesn't. I mean,
another 30 years, Molly represented Ireland in the Eurovision.
Well, how about that then?
Well,
yeah,
well,
there you go. Wonders never cease.
Wouldn't it be incredible?
Yeah.
Well, Paul, I got to say, from the nation, thank you so much for giving us that iconic moment all those years ago. And it was just such a special time. And it was also the year of Riverdance.
Oh, listen, I mean, the last couple of weeks I've been talking to different people about it. You know, the night it was born. And, you know, it was just one of those moments where we never got to see it until the performance on the night. And we're in the green room, and I mean, you could hear a pin drop, and we just kind of stood there with our mouths open. You know, it was phenomenal. And again, knowing, you know, it was lovely. It was a lovely time to be hanging around with afterwards, you know, with Michael and Jane and the gang. And it's only years later that you start to meet people who were. I would meet people and say, oh, I was in Anuna that night. I was part of that band, or I was part of the dance troupe, you know. I mean, I met a lot of them many years later. I worked with Michael in a show called Celtic Tiger, probably maybe 10 years after. It might have been 20 years after Eurovision. I can't remember too clearly, but there were still people in that troupe who were there on the night. And, like, I was talking to them about how phenomenal it was. And then they would say, oh, yeah, but, you know, you and Charlie, my God, we were all in tears. And, you know, yeah. It's amazing. It was a lovely Eurovision to win as well, because, I mean, don't forget, this was the third in a row. Riverdance was born. We'd broken all sorts of records. And, you know, Riverdance is still flying. As Bill Whelan says, it's 30 years later and they're still dancing away.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm still trucking myself. You know what I mean?
Well, I tell you what, it was certainly a proud night for Ireland. We
Absolutely.
Did it all that night. And you'll be there again tonight.
I can't even quite, you know, I don't have it written in front of me. There's a little bit of Irish where I greet everybody in Malmo. And then it's a kind of Dublin calling with their votes.
And you'll be giving the votes.
Apparently, I'm going to be seen in behind the presenters, so I'm looking forward to seeing the playback. So that's tonight. Can't tell you who I'm giving the 12 to, though, because I don't know.
You'd be tempted almost at the last minute to change your mind, wouldn't you? If it's close.
Oh my God!
Right.
My God!
Paul, lovely to see you. Thanks
you
so
too,
much
Trina,
for popping in
you.
Again. Paul Harrington, there. It's Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.